I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the problems that I have, and you don't have to be saved very long to realize it, but there's a lot of the flesh that gets in Christianity. Now, you would hope that we'd all be tremendously spiritual believers. And this is not to condemn anyone. But when it comes time for some glory to be handed out, a lot of God's people want it now. They want credit. We've kind of made it our motto that even in the cleanup from Hurricane Sandy, we don't want anybody to really, even though we have to tell people. They don't need to know my name. They don't need to know your name. I mean, you introduce yourself. You get the point I'm making of this. You can really puff yourself up as to what you're doing and all the good you've done and on and on and on. But one of the things that has transpired, and it's transpired right from the fall, is man wants glory. He wants to be known. He wants everybody to know what he's doing and what he's done. And if you're not in his camp, then you get criticized. All right, if you don't agree with him, you get criticized. There's an amazing amount of cross fighting that goes on among King James Bible believing people who we are. All right, now that's the only camp I've been in. Well, for lack of better terms, we'll call it a camp. All right, that's the only group of people that I've been around since day one. But as I've matured in Christ and got a little few years under my belt, I became aware, man, there's a whole bunch of backstabbing and backbiting and it's like, man, a lot. Here's my motto. I have a motto that I try to live by. Let's just get something done. Okay? That's my motto. We've all got our different stands, agreements, disagreements. Okay, all right, we'll talk about them. But for the cause of Christ, let's get something done. Maybe if we would help one another instead of hurting one another, God would turn this world upside. Maybe he just would turn Staten Island upside down one more time, all right? But I've taken you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from 26 on. And once again, this isn't my message, and the message I have is kind of anticlimactic. It's I don't even know if it fits after what Pastor just said, but this came to my mind though as we're reading. Here you've got this little old lady that probably very few people know. That's just the God's truth. Pastor Mike didn't know her. We've been in this for some time. Gail Ripplinger, we've heard of her name. Okay. Maurice didn't know this little old lady. Here's what I'm convinced about. I'm convinced that heaven's going to reveal some marvelous things. Heaven's going to reveal who really was doing the work. All right. God's not interested in machinery. He's interested in small individuals that he has deliberately placed somewhere 20 years. Would you continue to do something for 20 years and see very little fruit from it? This little old lady did. And out of the... Truth be told, I don't know how all this works. Hurricane Sandy has brought... is part of this equation.
That's right. That's true.
Hurricane Sandy is part of this equation, folks. You are part of this equation. See, that excites me. I'm going to be honest with you. The leader, being one of the elders and the leader, I mean, I'm respectful of it, but that doesn't excite me. You know what excites me? Just getting my name on the trophy. When there's 11 other names, I've got my name on some trophies in Canton, Ohio, from high school and middle school. And you want to know something? I never was the only name on the trophy. I was just happy to get my name on the trophy. I was part of a team that had won. That's what excites me. It excites me just to be part of it. Just to play my part. Play your part tonight. All right. I got 14 messages going on at one time here. That's not unusual for me. If you've been around here long enough, you know I can take six messages and blend them all together, and you walk away saying, what the heck did he say? What did he say this morning? All right. But we had a good time, and hopefully God was pleased. All right. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Look at verse 26. For you see your calling. Let me stop there. My mother and my dad, primarily my mother, and you've heard this little saying, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, don't say anything. That's just a God, you know, I don't live by that enough. Okay, I should. I need to do better. And truth be told, so do you. Okay. For ye see your calling, brethren, we'll put sisters in there too, how that not many wise men after the flesh. Now he was talking to some Greeks here, some Corinthians, who, they were very well to do. Their doctrine was all over the map, but they were intelligent. The Greeks seek after wisdom, you see. The Greeks, they were wise. These were learned people. You know, they were educated. He said, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and we're going to keep saying after the flesh, not many noble are called. Now, Christianity is one of these strange things, and the message I have tonight, and we'll, if we ever get briefly to it, the skeletal part of it, is somebody gave Moses some bad counsel. His father-in-law gave him some bad counsel. And we were going to talk about counsel, we might get to it. But God's not interested in my own wisdom, my wise counsel. He said, I didn't call the wise, I didn't call the mighty, I didn't call the noble. But 27 says, now this is where Christianity is just totally diametrically opposed to everything that we're taught in this world, not just in America, but in this world. Here is who God chooses. I rather like this because I tend to fit into it. You know? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Truth be told, beloved, it's foolish for some little old lady, a French lady, elderly now, bad eyesight, can't even have good enough health to fly, living, a French lady living in Kentucky. Once again, how strange is that? I guess you can live anywhere, but labor on something for 20 years, and all of a sudden, just now, there seemed to be a glimmer of hope. You know what that tells me? That tells me, Pat Dean, put your name in there. Don't you ever give up. You never know when God's going to come over to the proverbial wall switch and go, and the lights go on, man. Because we've been in homes, good night, we've been in basements, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. This hurricane has produced some darkness in people's lives, some disaster, some hurt. And right in the middle of this, God's putting some hope back into people's lives. People are helping people. It's all a good thing. But for this little church, come on now, get with it. We're nobodies. If you ever think you're somebody, you better find another church to go to. We're nobodies. I can tell you right now, there's people on the North Shore that don't even know you exist. And we're only minutes away. What church do you go to? I go to First Bible Church. Where is that at?
Never heard of that.
And then you say, well, we've been down there for 37 years. And it's not like we've been sitting on our hands for 37 years. We've pumped this island with the Word of God. Our people have taken this the Word of God and the Savior all over this island for 37 years, all over this city. And yet you still got people who say, I never heard of you guys. So don't ever think you're somebody. Be happy to be a nobody. You know God knows your name tonight? Now that excites me. That excites me like you can't even fathom. Because I'm just the type of guy, I don't really care that anybody know my name. That's just the way I'm wired. Okay, let's just get something done, all right? All right. He said, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God, here's what God chooses. He chooses the foolish. Well, thank God I fit in there. Now, you just laughed at me. You need to laugh at yourself. You're not any better than I am. My brother back in the hand had his hand up and didn't have a question. Yeah, he agrees with me. All right. Because that's what God... If the world... This is not the way the world works. If I'm going to run a business, if I'm going to want to make money, if I'm going to want to get my picture on the front page of a high-gloss magazine, Fortune 500, I'm going to choose wise people. I'm going to choose mighty people. I'm going to choose noble people. And I'm going to do what Jethro did with told his son-in-law Moses. I'm going to choose able men. There's only one problem with that tonight. That's not how God works. I've said this to you. I don't know why I've been here as long as I have. I'm a country boy at heart. I don't get into milking cows or any kind of that kind of stuff. But I'm the most least likely candidate to have stayed in New York City. That's just the God's truth. I mean, I love New Yorkers. I've knitted my soul with New Yorkers. But you know what, God? I've watched this thing. Don't you think that if God was going to want to win Gentiles, He would do it with another Gentile? But He didn't. God took a Jew who didn't want anything to do with Gentiles, saves him, and then God tells that Jew, I'm going to make you the apostle to the Gentiles. That doesn't make a bit of sense to me. But if the world's going this way, know for sure, God's going this way. Okay, that's just the way it works. All right? God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now, we know we're leading up to something, and this is where I'm going. All right, look at 28. Base things, things that are just way bottom of everything, base things. Things which are despised, I'm not going to hire these people. If I'm wanting to build a big business, I'm not hiring these people. These people are misfits. These people don't have it together. These people are dysfunctional. One of our, she's a woman now. One of our young women, many, many years ago, going home from church, asked her mom and dad, "Dad, let me ask you something." And he said, "Well, baby, go right ahead." She said, "Are there any normal people in First Bible Church?" And the truth be told, probably not. Because you know what? We're just, now, if you think real highly of yourself, that's okay. But I'm a mongrel dog. I'm a misfit. I'm dysfunctional. I can wear a three-piece suit and still be dysfunctional. Okay? I can be up there singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and I can still be dysfunctional. You know, that's why I stay in the Word of God, because my brain's dysfunctional. I gotta wash it all the time with the Word of God to keep me functional, because I this old man immediately wants to go to the dysfunctional. But he says, "And base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." God's behind the scenes. God's always behind the scenes. Now, we know that we're a Bible-believing church. We're a Bible-reading church. Look at verse 29. Why does God do this? One reason. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 words. God sums the whole thing up in 8 words and says, "This is why I do this. That no flesh should glory in His presence." Boy, if we ever... And I'm going to be honest with you. It's something that we need to guard, something that we need to protect. I think our folks on a whole understand this, believe this. I think the leadership from day one has tried to just work this into our mindset through the teaching of the Word of God. But you want to know something? Just glory in the fact that you know God. That's one of the major prophets. One of the major prophet things was Jeremiah said it. Just glory in the fact that you know God. All right. Can I take you to Isaiah? Can I take you to Isaiah chapter 45? Something else came to my mind. I won't teach at all tonight, probably on counsel, and that's okay. You serve a God tonight who, behind the scenes, is orchestrating your life and my life. Some of us have had the privilege of, you know, Pastor Mike and I have been together for 20 years, all right? And a lot of stuff has happened in 20 years. And I can go back prior to that all the way to the beginning. I only say that, not that I'm anybody. But you know what? One of the blessings that I have is I've seen every miracle. I've seen every heartache. I've seen every miracle. I've seen babies born, grow into teenagers, grow into mommies, grow into dads. And you know what? I've seen God orchestrate some pretty marvelous things behind the scenes. Just marvelous. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. Verse number 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." God says this, the Lord says this. Now this is pre-Babylonian captivity. But He says, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of iron and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." Nobody knows we're here but God. People even on the North Shore. First Bible Church, never heard of that. Sorry, buddy. Do you know what God's doing? "I will give thee the treasures of darkness." God goes into the darkness where you can't see anything. And He's going in there and He's pulling out this treasure just for you. He wants to give you His absolute... Some of you, and you'll forgive me tonight, but some of you have experienced the loss of your homes. And you know what God's wanting to do? God's wanting to go into the darkness where that home sits cold, and that home sits idle, and that home is a wreck, and that home needs to... And He's going to reach into the darkness, and He's going to pull out a blessing for you. And we're not any better than our brothers and sisters in the Philippines who experienced typhoons. And as I said, you know what? We need to get on our hands and knees and thank our Savior that He did not put sorrow upon sorrow. And I will continue to say this. The cliche, "It's good to be together," took on a whole new meaning for Pat Dean. It's good to be together. "I will give thee the treasure of darkness and hidden riches of secret places." Perhaps an elderly saint in Kentucky will get together with a Haitian missionary, with an American pastor, with an American church in Staten Island. The world, after Sandy, the world actually knows how to spell Staten Island, okay? They still think we're First Baptist Church, but that's okay. All right. CBS, you got to love them. All right. Don't ever trust the news. All right. Hidden riches of secret places. Now, why is God going to do this? "That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." That I might know tonight that God is real. That's why God does this. That's why God takes the foolish and the unwise and people who seem to be somewhat dysfunctional, and God takes them and He says that no flesh should glory in My presence, because I want to show you that you didn't do it. I did it all. "For Jacob My servant's sake and Israel Mine elect." Now watch, because Jacob and Israel, that's the same person. Jacob is his fleshly name. Jacob was a conniver, was a supplanter. Israel, the name has a tendency to be portrayed as prince, a prince of God, all right? So Jacob's the old man. It's one person now. But Jacob's his old man and Israel's the new man. God changed his name. "For Jacob My servant's sake, Israel Mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, that thou, though thou hast not known me. Do you know God gave you the name He wanted you to have? God, that's what He said there. He said, I surnamed you. I'm a dean. I didn't choose to be a dean. God born me a dean, okay? I'm stuck with it. I never have liked the name Pat, but Dean's okay. My mother-in-law never liked the name Pat either to this day. She's 88. She refuses to call me Pat. She calls me Dean. She thinks it's a sissy name. I love her. I think I do. No, I do. I've been married to her daughter for 40 plus years. I could care less. No, I shouldn't say that. Well, I got her daughter. That's about all I needed there. But she can call me anything she wants. I got her daughter, brother. I'm getting in trouble. I'm meddling now. I'm meddling, right, brother? I'm meddling? Yeah. Get back to it. Okay. All right. I'm meddling. See, Eddie knows rabbit trails. Eddie can smell rabbit trails. Get back to the message, brother. Okay. All right. That's what good brothers do. Get back. Stop meddling. Get back to preaching. God said, I'm gonna reach into those hidden places. I'm gonna go where man can't see. All right. You know what? I think I'm going to stop. Really. You get the drift. You get the drift. Let me tell you what happened tonight. Do you know I never get in the pulpit without notes? I never get in the pulpit without notes. I don't trust myself without notes. Now, most of the time I don't stay with them. But you know what God did tonight? God took something from the very beginning and orchestrated something all the way to right now. A story. It's a little hard to believe sometimes that God can take a hurricane and get glory out of it. But He wants to. See, we're looking at it from the wrong side. The greatest hurricane that ever hit this earth was called Calvary. That was the ultimate hurricane that hit this earth. When the hurricane of sin hit the Son of God. And from man's vantage point, it looked terrible. I mean, even Pilate said, make that tomb as sure as you can. And the devils believed that they had Him. And on the third day, the ground began to shake just a little. There are some things I wish I had seen with my naked eye, all right? The third day, that ground just began to quiver just a little. And I bet you old Pilate in the back of his mind said, oh, I told them, make as sure as they can. See, Pilate knew who Jesus Christ was, and he blew him off. Truth. He said, where is truth? You had truth standing right in front of you. All we want, this island, I could care less about CBS, ABC, NBC, whoever, okay? That's just our mindset. Here's what we want. We want God to go into those hidden places and bring out a treasure. And go into those secret places and bring out something good that nobody can see right now. That our folks who have been damaged, their property's been damaged at this entire island. That hurricane called sin, Calvary. When I look at it, I see the devastation of the Son of God. But when God looks at it, He sees the finished work. It was the only way it could be done. It was the only way. He looks through that hurricane and he sees First Bible Church. Put your name in there. There was only one way that God could do what He did to save our soul, and that was to produce a hurricane. The hurricane of sin upon His own Son. We serve a God tonight who's worthy to be loved. He is worthy to be served. He is. If there's only one message I can leave with you for my own life, it's that my God is worthy to be loved and He's worthy to be served. There is nobody, and I love you all, but there is nobody like Him. Nobody. If you'll just let Him dethrone yourself, get yourself off the throne. I'm going to be honest with you. The visionary, my pastor, gets us into things sometimes, and I shake my head and say, "Oh God, here we go again. Here we go again. It's never going to end. Glory to God. We got the building wrecked and the parking lots are wrecked and we're in people's basements. Who knows when it's going to end?" And He knows me. He's, "Yeah, whoo, get those horses going. Yeah, whoo, yeah, whoo, rawhide, yeah." Man, He's going, man. And I'm in the back of the wagon going, "Come on, slow that pony down. Slow it down now, slow it down." He's wanting to run it over the cliff. I'm saying, "Brother, don't run it over the cliff, brother. Come on, slow those ponies down." But you know what? You know what God does? I've been with this body of believers long enough, and I've been with my friend, my pastor, long enough. I've watched God just do some pretty wild stuff. Some wild stuff. If you just keep your eyes on Him. I'm always going to be the one slow the ponies down. And He's always going to be the one beating the ponies to go faster. And that's just, I guess that's the balance. That it works out well, doesn't it? That's just the balance that we have, all right? But you know what I've learned? I've learned that, now, I can look back and so can you. Come on now, look back. Look back over 20, you know, next year it'd be 20 years. And I've seen the hand of God. I've watched God reach into the darkness. I've watched God reach into those secret places and bring out a treasure just for us. What a blessing it is to know Jesus Christ and to be part. And to be part. And to be part of His church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we want to thank You tonight for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, it's been an unusual night. I didn't have any idea the direction to go. And Lord, I want to thank You just bringing some thoughts together. Lord, I want to thank You for Your love tonight. I want to thank You, Father, that You thought enough of me when I was in my own hurricane, that You knew I couldn't get out of that hurricane. So You stepped out of heaven and You calmed the waters. You calmed the storm. You spoke to Your own sea, Your own ocean. And Father, You not only saved us, but You let us all be together. This we're not traveling by chance, Father. That was the Levite and the priest. But Lord, we've been together in this place for a long time. Some of God's people here are new. Some of us go back almost to day one. And Lord, we've seen the hand of God in this place. Nobody knows us, Lord. It's good to be a nobody. But Lord, I want to thank you. My name's written in heaven. I want to thank you that you know me tonight only because of Jesus Christ. Lord, you let us be here to be a light. Call it service, call it ministry. You told those early believers to be a light. Don't put your light under a bushel. And Lord, this thing with this elderly saint in Kentucky, Brother Maurice, my pastor, our church as a whole, Lord, if you want it to be, we will praise your name for it. Orchestrate all of it, Father. Lord, just I'm asking you, you said if we would acknowledge you, you would direct our path. You didn't even say if we love you, Lord. You just said if we acknowledge you. Now, I do love you, Father. But I acknowledge you, Lord. I don't know. My mind can't conceive even the next step in this. But, Father, I pray that you'd give those involved wisdom, Holy Ghost direction. Lord, if you give us you've got more work to do tonight. If you give us a tomorrow, Lord, we're asking you to order our, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Order my steps. Order our steps, Lord. Lord, show us. Is there more good, physical good, that needs to be done, that should be done, that can be done? Lord, we need you. Lord, in that story of Jethro thought able men were enough. Men of good, they were good men. But when you corrected him, Father, you chose men that had the same spirit that Moses had. You chose 70 men, not more machinery. But you started with men who had the same spirit as Moses. Father, unite us in this place. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy, Lord, to just start biting and devouring one another. Father, unite us around you. May this place just have the fragrance of sweetness to all of us who meet together. May you be pleased. Father, thank you just for this evening. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, even what my own spirit has experienced tonight. Thank you for these things. I want to thank you just personally for letting me be a part of your great plan of redemption. And we pray these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right.